This is 10 Minutes of Science, a Women in Ophthalmology initiative supported by Johnson & Johnson. We have invited ophthalmologists who are leaders in their field to discuss a journal article of their choice. My name is Robin Troutbeck.
I'd like to introduce Dr. Priya Somalia. Priya is currently a medical retina and uveitis fellow at the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital in Melbourne. She completed a uveitis fellowship at Green Lane Clinical Centre prior to this. Welcome, Priya.
Thank you for having me.
Could you begin by telling us the name of your article and why you chose it?
So I chose the POINT trial, which is a randomised controlled trial looking at the effectiveness of three regional corticosteroid injections for non-infectious uveitic macular edema. So that's looking at periocular triamcinolone versus intravitreal triamcinolone versus the Ozurdex dexamethasone implant. I think this paper is important as macular edema is a common cause of vision loss amongst eyes with uveitis, and the management can be quite challenging. Before the POINT trial, there weren't really any head-to-head comparison trials for regional steroid treatment.
Excellent. Just to give people a little bit of background, what did the authors do? How were these drugs given, and what was the treatment regime?
So it was a multi-centre study which was done over 6 months. The treatments were directly compared, and there were 192 patients with uveitic macular edema that were randomly assigned to receive either 40 milligrams of periocular triamcinolone, 4 milligrams of intravitreal triamcinolone or triessence, and the 0.7 milligram dexamethasone steroid implant Ozurdex. So the patients underwent an initial eye exam with OCT baseline, then again at week 4, 8, 12, 20 and 24 after starting treatment. The primary outcome that they looked at was the proportion of improvement in the OCT central subfoveal thickness from baseline to the 8-week primary outcome visit. And their secondary outcomes looked at a greater than 20% improvement in the central subfoveal thickness, resolution of macular edema, best corrected visual acuity, and intraocular pressure events over the 24-week study. So the researchers themselves hypothesized that both intravitreal triamcinolone and the dexamethasone implant, Ozurdex, were better than periocular steroid for the treatment of uveitic macular edema. They also suggested that Ozurdex was non-inferior to intravitreal triamcinolone, and they also hypothesized that the Ozurdex implant would have lower rates of intraocular pressure rise compared to intravitreal triamcinolone.
And so what did the results show?
So overall...
That was what they hypothesised.
Yeah. So overall, the study showed that central retinal thickness and best corrected visual acuity were significantly improved in all the groups at all follow-up visits. The extent of the central retinal thickness reduction and best corrected visual acuity gains were significantly higher in both intravitreal groups, so the Ozurdex and the intravitreal triamcinolone, compared to the periocular group. So in terms of the central retinal thickness, the percentages of reduction from baseline at week 8 were 23% for the periocular group, 39% for the intravitreal triamcinolone group, and 46% for the Ozurdex group. The intravitreal groups also had a higher portion of eyes with complete resolution of macular edema. So the intravitreal route was superior to the periocular route for improvement in macular edema, but there was no significant difference between the two intravitreal groups. When it came to best corrected visual acuity, again, all three groups had an improvement, but the intravitreal drugs were superior to the periocular therapy. So both intravitreal triamcinolone and the Ozurdex implant had significantly improved visual outcomes, with 5 letters greater improvement than the periocular group at 8 weeks and also the 24 weeks. But again, there's no difference between the intravitreal groups.
And what about the pressure? What did they find with the pressure?
So with all local steroid treatments, they were generally associated with a moderate intraocular pressure increase between 24 and 29. The risk of having a pressure rise of 30 or higher was actually infrequent in all groups. When they compared the periocular injections to the intravitreal groups, the intravitreal injection groups, both the Ozedex and intravitreal triacins, were two times more likely to cause a moderate intraocular pressure rise between 24 and 30. But there was no significant difference in the risk of intraocular pressure rise between the two intravitreal groups. And fortunately, during the study period, at least, none of the eyes required any incisional glaucoma surgery.
Interestingly, I know on that study, patients could be included if they were already on multiple. Do you want to comment on that?
They could be included. They had quite a broad inclusion criteria for the study, and they did include people who eyes that were had glaucoma but had controlled glaucoma, and also people who were previous steroid responders as well.
How often did they receive, did people receive treatment on this trial? How long did the drugs tend to last in the eye, and how frequently could treatment be repeated?
So they had retreatment criteria. So with the both the periocular steroid and the intravitreal triacins, they could get injections every 8 weeks. And for the Ozedex, they could get a retreatment 12 weeks. And they also had a period where they could change over to a different treatment class. So for the intravitreal triamcinolone and the periocular steroid, they could both go on to receive a dexamethasone implant if they had no improvement or worsening at 12 weeks, so they could change arms in the study. And the dexamethasone arm could change at 20 weeks.
Did the Ozedex last as long as they hoped it would?
It didn't last as long in terms of vitrectomized and non-vitrectomized eyes, but I think there's no difference for the Ozedex compared to triacins with that. But the dexamethasone implant didn't last as long as they thought.
What are the real take-home messages from this paper? And maybe, I think probably what people would like to know is, how do we manage patients with macular edema? Because this paper was for uveitic macular edema. Yeah. But I think the common thing that people encounter is like postoperative cystoid macular edema.
Yes.
Maybe we could talk about that. So someone who has had cataract surgery, who has cystoid macular edema, how would we go about treating this? What can we take from this article to treat those patients?
Well, so I guess the results from this study suggest that the intravitreal treatments are superior to the periocular approach for the management of macular edema. And both routes of intravitreal treatment, so both the intravitreal triacins and the DEX implant, have an improvement in visual acuity and are similar in efficacy. So I guess you'd tend to favour the intravitreal route, but the periocular route would still be a viable therapeutic option because it's still associated with improvements in the macular edema and visual acuity. And it's particularly an option for those where intravitreal injections are not necessarily the best option, such as aphakic patients or also very young people who are aphakic with clear lenses. It was a short trial, so they weren't able to assess the long-term complications such as the development of steroid-induced cataracts, glaucoma, and also the recurrence rates of macular edema based on treatment.
Were there any other adverse outcomes reported in the trial, like endophthalmitis associated with the Ozedex or the triamcinolone?
No, they had low adverse events for any of the treatments, but it was more focused on the pressure, and they didn't have any that developed cataract either in the study period.
So if a patient comes to you with post-op cystoid macular edema post-cataract surgery, you would generally go, I'm pinning you down on how you treat the patient.
I think I'm still more of a sort of stepladder approach. Initially I'd do topical steroid and topical ocular or non-steroidal, give it a month and see what it's looking like. And then my next step up would be a periocular steroid, and then after that intravitreal treatment. I probably wouldn't do multiple periocular injections if they're pseudophakic and they're a non-steroid responder. If they didn't respond to one, then I'd try an intravitreal injection.
Yep. Yeah. You want to get them good and get them gone.
Yeah.
Have you got anything else you'd like to tell the listeners as any other take-home messages from the paper?
I guess one of the kind of things that they did well in a way was that they did have that broad inclusion criteria. So they had all types of anatomic types of uveitis, different types of macular edema. So they based it on the central macular thickness. So that could be with or without subretinal fluid, with or without cysts. They did include eyes with epiretinal membranes and, again, that history of controlled glaucoma. So I guess in a way the results from this study can be more generalised to real-world patients as well, just because of the broad inclusion criteria, which is more what you see in clinical practice.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Priya.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for joining us today on 10 Minutes of Science. See you next time.